just got called up to the big league, son. Welcome to the show. This is Schemann and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a Monday, 2 hours down, two to go, and boy, are they flying fast. Because it's a Monday during football season, that's why. And it is a Monday, the day after a Sunday night victory by the greatest team in the National Football League, the Detroit Lions, beating the lowly, sorrowful Patriots, 26-10.
For the record, who'd you pick?
Well, for the pigskin picks, that doesn't count.
Who did you pick?
I picked the Patriots on the points. I don't like how the points were set up.
Week before, who did you pick?
I don't remember. All I know is that the Lions are awesome. And Matt Patricia is going to be coach of the year. No question about it. Solid pick there. And I'm ready to go for the rest of the season. This is the best 1-2 I've ever seen in my life. We avoided the 0-3. And your Patriots have lost two games for the first time in 75 years. They are doomed. The Chris's Dolphins magic number to wrap up the division is like 12 already. They got like a 3-game lead on them. Okay, that's a little premature on that, but I'll let it ride.
As I said earlier,
we're in the air, we're on the ground, we're on to the Patriots, and when you say Miami, you're talking 3-0 now, Dolphins!
And my team showed your team the way to victory.
Miami Dolphins.
No, get Tom Brady off the field and disinterested.
My team does not know how to lose.
Why don't you copy the Jacksonville Jaguars blueprint of how to beat the Patriots?
They did.
Because they could have gone to Tennessee and done the same. It didn't happen.
No. Because I will tell you why. Because the Jacksonville Jaguars are a flawed team. They have a horrible quarterback. I have probably the hottest quarterback in the National Football League other than Patrick Mahomes and... yeah, we got the second best quarterback.
You are not now BS. You are DS. You are disavowed Schemann. That's what
about.
You are.
You're I'm allowed disavowed. To pick differently for pigskin picks
you are
because
not,
I'm trying to think
you
a different
have
way.
Trashed but I was rooting for the Lions for a month.
Now I will tell you this. I don't know what you're talking about.
I picked them twice.
Clearly, anybody
and won twice.
Anybody listening to this show after that Monday night game against the Jets knew that I had this eternal hopefulness flame for the Lions this season. I thought, look, it was just a few rough edges. Give Matt Patricia some time to turn it around. Clearly, that's what I remember myself saying, and that's what happened. Now we're the best team in the NFL. There you go. All set.
Okay.
That's not how you remember it? No. That's how I remember it.
What I do remember is the Patriots getting beat up in all three phases of the game, which they absolutely did. Like I said, I will reserve judgment for those on this team and many others weeks 5 through 7. And I say only that for the Patriots because that's when Julian Edelman will be back in week 5. Josh Gordon hopefully will be a part of this offense in some way, shape, or form. And then we can have a serious discussion about where they are. And if they're still this lethargic, then we could start talking about some big-time comparisons to 2009, which is when all you do is substitute Moss and Welker with Gronk and Edelman, and you get the same result. I don't think that's going
to
be the case.
Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon, Pete?
I have not been to the Grand Canyon.
They have these amazing cliffs.
Over it.
They have these cliffs, just like the cliff that Tom Brady's career has fallen off.
The Max Kellerman
It happened today. It happened last night. It's over. He was disinterested. He had like 2 yards passing in the first half. It's over. I'm sorry, Chris.
Pete, I want to give Pete a little bit of advice.
Oh, yeah.
Because he hasn't been in this spot in a long time.
Yeah.
It's really stressful.
4 years ago. Yeah.
Hold on. I don't even know where I'm going yet.
Okay. Lay it on him.
It's really stressful. Sweating it out for one of the two wild card spots.
Yeah.
You know, to have the division wrapped up by October, pretty much.
Like the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm. And look, guys, I'm not. The Rock is a tough place to play. So the fact that they're set up with home field advantage right now, it's a great thing for the Dolphins moving forward.
Number one seed, Dolphins. You can thank me, Lions.
Well, you know
for
what?
Helping you
That's
out.
A fact right now, Craig Schemann.
Yeah.
That is an absolute fact. If the season ended today, the Dolphins would be the number one seed in the AFC. So take your weak schedule argument and pound sand with it.
Pound sand, everybody. Dolphins are the worst team of the three of our teams in this room.
No, Patriots.
I mean, the Patriots, yeah. Sorry. I got carried
what
away.
What a slip of the tongue that
I
was.
I got carried away.
Oh, Dolphins, Dave, you got to be really happy with how the Dolphins played yesterday. They were down in that game late. They come back and win. And the Raiders were in black in the heat. It was a brilliant move by Miami to play white. That had to help a little bit. But I thought Gase out Coach Gruden when he had to. The Dolphins made more plays. It usually comes down to three or four plays in most football games, and they got it done. There's no way in hell they would have won that game last year in that with that kind of scenario with Cutler at the helm. No way.
No question.
I think the Dolphins did the right thing. They got rid of the bad blood. Most of the national media trashed them. We were all in this room at least saying, you got to be nuts. This is not going to be the worst team or second worst team in the NFL. It doesn't matter who you were allegiances to. It's just fact that you could just see it. That they were more comfortable with each other right out of the gate, and they are, and they're proving it. They're 3-0, and I think the Patriots play that lethargic like they did, and Edelman's not going to be there next week either. I think Miami will have a great shot to win up there for the first time in 2008. It's going to be very difficult. Patriots haven't lost 3 in a row. I can't remember the last time they lost 3 in a row.
Ever?
But they have. Oh, no, they have.
I don't remember.
No, they have. A few 91. Years ago.
Not my lifetime.
It happened a few years ago, but it is extremely rare, but you know, you got to feel great if you're Miami. You're going, first of all, you're going into New England.
I do.
And you do feel great, don't you?
Feel awesome.
I feel great because I showed you
guys
how to
do it. In the 60s and not snowing or near frigid temperatures, so it's not that excuse.
Beautiful fall afternoon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, beautiful fall afternoon. And you
Tom Brady's joints start aching a little bit more.
Oh, he's aching. He's fired his trainer. He can't do it anymore.
He'll be okay.
7-3-4. How about the Lions offensive line? By the way, best pick of the draft. Frank Ragnow freaking pancaked every one of your linebackers. That was awesome.
This is history.
9-4-1.
I will say history is on my side because I don't care about September. Pete said back before the season started, they will probably start off 2-2.
And you're going to be wrong, Pete, because they're starting off 1-3.
1-3, baby!
Yeah, and they might. And actually, if you remember, if you can play back the tape, I said that wouldn't shock me either until they get the full arsenal of weapons back.
And they're still going to be mediocre.
Well,
how about the story this week?
I can't say. Maybe they are. Maybe this is 2000. Well, mediocre for them was 2009 going 11-5, I believe, and losing the first round of Baltimore in the playoffs. But
how about the story that Schefter broke over the weekend that Gronk was all but traded to the Lions and said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to retire.
You know, behind the scenes stuff, I remember that day.
Yeah.
I was giddy that Gronk was on his way out. That was the day. That was the same week Brady didn't show up for OTAs, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
We were very close. We were very close to this whole Patriots thing crumbling.
Kaboom! Kaboom!
I mean, it was going to implode on itself. It was going to be great.
Please grant me because you know deep down.
Me quarterback,
I'm sure back in 2014 when they got walloped by Kansas City, you guys are right at the front of the train leading that they were done and over and blah, blah, blah.
You are correct. And you know what? I'm going to be right one time.
And this is going to be
right. It's going to happen.
This is all those same people that get on this bandwagon trust me, and it's a lot of New England fans too. God, am I glad I'm not dealing with that nonsense today. I'd much rather be talking about winning football, the Bucs tonight and everything else, and have to deal with overreactive, over-the-top, crazy you know,
like the Lions, Dolphins in the Super Bowl. That's not crazy over the top. That's happening.
Wow,
that's happening.
It is insufferable up there in days like this.
You haven't seen nothing yet. Wait till February comes.
You got commentators talking about Sony Michel is a bust. He's this that. The guy is.
He's a one bright spot.
He's pretty good last night.
I thought he dropped a couple passes, but that kid's going to be good. And you got people up there commentating on him that have never seen one down of Georgia football in their life, and they think he's a bust. But for some reason, and that's media people up there.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337 ESPN. Sean and Lehigh. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So, first off, I have a suggestion, but first I wanted to just say, you know, how proud I am of you, Pete, for being able to endure working with delusional coworkers.
Wow.
And, you know, humbly sitting there and allowing them to, you know, play out their delusions.
Well, Sean, his team is 1-2.
Disqualified.
But continue, Sean. But continue.
The Patriots were eliminated from the playoffs last night.
Sean, like Bill said last night, you know, I don't think anybody clinched anything yesterday.
Right. So here's the thing, and this was my suggestion. I don't know if you guys will do it or not. Now I know Chris. You know,
fins up.
You know, he's a Dolphins fan, but here's the thing. I just really don't believe that. Nor do I believe Craig believe the words that are actually coming out of their mouth right now.
What?
So what I wanted to propose was if they're so confident in their team, especially you, Chris, if you're so confident that the Dolphins are going to win the division, why don't you put your money where your mouth is and make a bet right now with Pete?
Because we cannot bet over FCC airwaves,
yeah,
Sean.
That
how
would
do
be
you
illegal.
Know there's not something not on the back end, huh?
Not money.
Well, what do you want to bet, Sean?
Tattoos.
You want me to cue up the fight song? You want to sing Dolphins number one?
No, how about you do something like a photo shoot in Patriots gear or something?
Absolutely not. You will never see me with that.
Hey, Sean.
Garbage,
like hey, Sean. Hey, Sean.
Like
at the season ended today, who's like the number one seed? Who's the number one seed right now,
the
Chris?
The Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Four now.
They are.
Thanks, Sean.
Sean, that's okay. I got nothing for it. I told you how I feel. If it's the same team in weeks 5 through 7, then that's a different story. But I believe they will not be that way. It'll be different. And as lethargic as the defensive looks now, the track record is they figure it out. And September has been an extension of the preseason for that football team for many years. So I don't get carried away. There's things to be concerned about. Absolutely.
I'm a little tongue-in-cheek today about the Patriots' demise.
I'm not.
But
no, you're not.
Listen, I can joke about the Patriots while at the same time being serious about the Miami Dolphins and the fact that
they're a good team.
Go through the AFC and tell me how many teams. I don't care about 2017. The Miami Dolphins did not have the same quarterback. By the way, a quarterback who was 10-1 in his last 11 games. They didn't have him last year.
Nope.
So take 2017 and
throw it out.
Crumple it up in a ball
nothing.
And throw it away. Go back to 2016 when Tannehill got his team basically on the doorstep of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That was career high that year. He is continuing to be an efficient quarterback this year. I'm not saying he's Tom Brady. I'm not saying that you need Tannehill to throw the ball 40 times to win a football game. That's not his role. But the fact is, the defense has looked very good. Tannehill has been very efficient with the football so far this season. And even in a game yesterday where they couldn't get the running game going at all, they still found a way to win. So I want everybody driving, to go through the teams in the AFC and honestly tell yourselves which teams have performed better so far this season. You're going to come up with about three.
The Browns, they got a better record than the
Patriots.
You're
going to come up with about three. You're going to come up with the Chiefs. You're going to come up with, help me out here, guys. You're going to come up with the Chiefs.
You're going to come up with the Chiefs on offense. You're not going to come up with the Chiefs on defense. The Dolphins are better on defense. It's not even close. The Dolphins are better on defense. You can Chiefs have all the weapons and spectacular on offense. But their defense is nothing to write home about, not by any stretch of the imagination at all. Miami's defense is playing much better than Kansas City's right.
They've shown that they're very fast. It looks like the guys who have been let go from that organization, it was the right move. You let go of Jarvis Landry, who hasn't caught a touchdown pass this year, and you bring in Albert Wilson, who had 2 touchdowns yesterday. Now, granted, one was throwing.
Jarvis looked pretty good on Thursday night when Bakes came onto the field.
Yeah, he looked fine. That's not what. But go look at how much he's getting paid versus how much Albert Wilson's getting paid.
The Chiefs have given up 40 more points than the Dolphins already. 40 more.
Right. Go look at point differential, because everybody's all into point differential. The Dolphins have the second best point differential in the AFC, third best in football.
Yep, they're 20, but it's 23, and Kansas City's is differential plus 26.
So you get all these dumbasses on the text line about how about 2013 when the Dolphins started 3-0 and went 8-8. Who's a quarterback that, like, seriously, you're going to have to go back 6 seasons in the record book to try to come up with something?
Go
look at 2016. Go look at this year. Tannehill's 11-1 in his last 12. Fact.
Yeah, and you look at. I'm glad Fleury brought it up this morning too. You go back to the playoff game against Pittsburgh. They did not embarrass themselves in that game at all. That is a couple of shaky turnovers. They played pretty solid in that game, you know, and it didn't go their way, but they didn't embarrass themselves in that game.
No, if Matt Moore is able to get points before halftime of that game and not get knocked out of the game, quite frankly.
He was right back in 2 plays later. That was the most amazing thing.
They stayed in that football game.
They did. But, you know, you can talk about who's because Kansas City has all these spectacular studs and Mahomes is playing
out of
his mind
right now. But their defense is Swiss cheese. It's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, there will come a time where they're going to be challenged. I mean,
So go to the Dolphins schedule. Who have they beat? Well, they beat the Tennessee Titans, who are 2-0 outside of the Dolphins game. And by the way, they beat the Jags. Now, I'm not saying that the Dolphins are better than the Jags, but I'm just saying, look at the team. Don't look at the history of the franchise. Don't look at the last 15 years since Dan Marino went away and take that and say that, well, it's never going to change, because it will change. And maybe it was 2016. Maybe it's 2018. Maybe it's another quarterback where the change starts. But
to simply say that this Miami Dolphins team is not good because Miami Dolphins team in 2008 wasn't good is stupid.
If you want to say the best overall team right now, I'd probably pick the Rams. I mean, that's probably the best, you know, in all three phases. Their defense is excellent, and they're scoring over 100 points
so far.
They look
pretty good.
Yeah.
That was a weird game, Rams-Chargers yesterday. Yeah. And the parts of the Coliseum were not totally full, and I thought the Rams.
What else?
I thought the Rams had a pretty good fan base, and then the Chargers would bring their three fans over. I expected the Coliseum to be largely sold out, except for that one end zone that they don't.
I hope Steeler Nation doesn't take over Ray J tonight. That's going to be. I don't think it will. The Eagles fans. We're a lot of Eagles fans there, but the Bucs, I'll give the fans credit. They drowned them out when they needed to drown them out, and I hope that the Buccaneer fans are going to be going crazy.
I can't
tonight.
Wait for that game.
That should be a great – I am really, really looking forward
Jameis
to that
Jameis Winston has been informed that he will not be getting his job back unless Fitzy just doo-doos the bed.
Hey, quick – I didn't know this. Sorry if it's off the track here. But
what's up?
Did you know – I didn't know the Oklahoma-Army game wasn't on regular TV. Did you see this story?
Mm-mm.
The Oklahoma –
close game, by the way.
Yeah, they were favored by 31.
And it was a great scene at the end of the game, but I'll
– oh, what happened?
The Oklahoma, just let Pete go first.
Yeah, the Oklahoma-Army football game – was not expected to be a thriller or anything else, but Oklahoma entered the game as a 29-31 point favorite. But so when Army tied the game in 21 in the third quarter, college football fans were scrambling to find the game on TV. No luck. That's because the game was only available through pay-per-view service associated with Fox. I did not know this.
That's a thing?
The cost of the game through the pay-per-view service was $54.99 for the streaming option and $34.99 through Cox.
Really?
So But what happened was, so the people that could only watch the game legally had to pay this crazy price. Eventually, social media learned of a Twitch stream showing the game.
Those are my people.
And well, technically, it was some Twitch user holding up their cell phone to a television and streaming the game that way, seriously. And 32,000 people tuned in to watch.
That's cool. Yeah, it was a 7-point game, right? Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma won in, was it overtime? Or did it just
No, it came down the last.
Okay.
They won 28-21. Yeah, it wasn't overtime.
I thought it was. Okay. Yeah. Go on social media and just search this game. Oklahoma fans giving the Army players a standing ovation when they were walking back into the tunnel after the game.
Yeah.
One of the coolest moments.
Oh, that's sweet.
It was awesome. You know, that kind of pulls at my heartstrings a little bit, but get a little choked up watching it.
I'm going to look at that.
And the reason why this happened? Guess who's they're blaming?
What?
Our friend down the street.
Who?
Coaches FAU.
Why?
They're blaming Lane Kiffin. Because when Fox picked up, he gets blamed for everything. When Fox Network picked up the OU Florida Atlantic season opener, they virtually assured OU Army would be relegated to pay-per-view, even if Sooner officials don't like it. Hmm. Every Big 12 member retains one non-conference football game per year for its own distribution. OU years ago signed on with Fox Sports to create the Sooner Sports Network. I didn't know that. And part of that agreement was giving Fox Sports the rights to that third-tier game. Fox Sports can do anything it wants with the game, sell the game to another network, put it on over the broadcast, place it on cable, don't televise it at all, show it on pay-per-view. Pay-per-view, the most lucrative platform for Fox, and so you fans have a long history of purchasing pay-per-view offerings, even at $54.99, the cost of the OU Army game. So the people that could watch this game legally had to pay that.
Mm.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
I did not.
A Twitch user. Hmm. Just like you when you stole the Pacquiao fight off Facebook.
It was just there.
X and A.
Yeah. I know what
the Facebook Faye.
Your memory is very foggy regarding my Lions and Patriots and fights that may or may not have taken place on social media back in the past. All right, coming up, we still got to get into Tiger Woods. Rick Hara, our friend's going to join us from Tampa. He's at the stadium. We got to get into the Bucs and Steelers.
He's going to tell us all about. He's going to get the inside scoop on Jameis.
I need an inside scoop on Manchester United, too.
All right, we'll try and get you that. That's coming up.
Just to open up with it so you know we get it.
Okay. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepherd.
Just kind of the way that a Football Monday goes, been great with the conversation, a lot to talk about. Of course, in case I didn't mention it earlier, the Lions did beat the Patriots. But the other great story coming off of Sunday, if you like golf, and most of you do in Southwest Florida, Tiger Woods winning the FedEx Cup Championship and the crowd at 18.
Oh, my
the
God.
Way they unleashed him and let him follow him on the fairway like Arnie's Army back in the day. I lost Tiger. I couldn't see him. And all of a sudden, this guy in a red shirt comes out to hit his shot out of the trap. It was unbelievable.
It was Moses parting the Red Sea. It was amazing. It was almost like you're watching that old Nike commercial back when Tiger was in his prime and everybody following him. But that was staged. This was, if you didn't get goosebumps watching that, I'm sorry. I think that is one of the, I will never forget that. When, you know, we talk about moments and, you know, Super Bowl highlights, World Series, Stanley Cup, NBA champion. This guy is a legend. And I don't care what you think of him personally from his past. There isn't a more iconic sports figure in the world than this guy. Nobody. Don't tell me about soccer players. This guy is the most popular athlete in the world. There is no doubt in my mind. He is. No doubt about it. And by popular, even if those of you who are negative about it, I'm telling you, that was special yesterday. I do not say that was special. How could you not get goosebumps watching that?
You get goosebumps. He got goosebumps. You could clearly see he was choking up.
Oh, yeah.
After Rory kind of left him alone a little bit, and when they were walking together with the crowd behind him, Rory, you could hear him say, all right, I'll just tap out and get out of your way, let you have the stage. And he was emotional about it, too. And he's been through a lot. Some of it's his own doing, no question about it. But to see him back on top like this at the last event and to watch his progression throughout the season, the ups and downs, but upward trend. You know, getting the driver better.
He couldn't tie his shoe last year.
I know. It could get out of bed.
He couldn't tie his shoes last year.
It's been a lot of fun to watch this season. He's the favorite already at Augusta National. If you all look, we got Ryder Cup coming up. The crowd was chanting USA, USA at the end yesterday. He, even to the last minute, was even in it for the whole FedEx Cup championship deal Justin Rose got. By the way, how would you like to tap in from an inch and a half and get $10 million? That's got to be a cool feeling.
Yes, it is.
Tiger did get $3 million of that coming in second place in addition to the $1.7 that he got for winning yesterday. But let's take a listen to this is Tiger Woods yesterday cherishing the win.
Means a lot. It really does. You know, there are the people who are close to me saw the struggles and what I was going through, and some of the players that I'm pretty close to, they've really helped, you know, throughout this process and the last few years, you know, and their support and with you know some of the things that they said, you know, come off that last screen meant a lot to me.
He also talked about, you know, he's 42 now, but some of the younger guys are not used to seeing the crowds follow him like that.
A couple of guys thought someone hold out on the first hole. It was just me making a putt. But, the roars are a little bit louder because we had to have more people, and it's just going to be that way. And I think that, you know, a lot of the guys that are playing right now in you know, the playoffs and then towards this tour championship, the top 30 are the guys that didn't really play against me. And, you know, when I was younger, these guys, you know, grew up watching a lot of what I did. So it's a little bit different.
Little hint of frustration there in that these guys watched Tiger, probably started playing golf because of Tiger. But then when they were finally going against him, it wasn't old vintage Tiger. And even Tiger at his best was competitive with him. Now, when Tiger was vintage, he was winning by double-digit strokes.
Yeah, but what does that say about this current group? Were they intimidated in any way, shape, or form? Did they feel – we always talk about all the young bucks, all of them, you know, that they don't know. They don't care about that stuff. I don't know. I thought it was a little evident yesterday.
Yes,
I think they absolutely felt not fear, but they felt some sort of anxiety because nobody – I mean, he won by two strokes, but, you know, you expect one of these young bucks to come in and take over and be fearless, and it didn't happen.
I couldn't help but think while they were experiencing the real Tiger roar and the crowd, one person that wasn't there that didn't see it and still hasn't truly seen it, that was Jordan Spieth. Because he didn't, you know, he failed to qualify, so he didn't get to see all this in action.
But we've seen this as well, and I'm trying to find the final pairings for the PGA Championship last month. But I thought he was paired with Jordan Spieth, and that final round as well.
I believe he was.
And I think that he kind of folded under pressure. Really the one guy who hasn't folded under this Tiger pressure when playing in a group was Molinari, who went on to win the Open Championship when Tiger had that lead on the 11th tee box.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
But you saw it yesterday. I don't want to say that they're intimidated by Tiger. I'm talking about the young group, you know, that group that's kind of Justin Thomas to Rory McIlroy. You know, that group of young guys, they're not intimidated by Tiger because they can hit the ball just as far as Tiger. Mm-hmm. Their short game is they're just as good as Tiger. I just think that there's a comfort that Tiger has when he's playing in front of crowds that are 30 rows deep.
Yeah.
That those guys, they just cannot have that comfort level yet because they haven't done it. And no matter what the pressure is that, like, Rory felt on the 10th tee at Augusta a few years ago when he held a two-stroke lead, no matter what that pressure is, it doesn't compare to playing with Tiger in the final round of a big golf tournament.
I think Justin Rose is feeling yesterday. He shot a 73, you know, and, you know, he finishes five shots off the pace, but that was his worst round of the day, of the tournament, was the 73. He went 66, 67,
10 mil would make me forget about that real
73,
quick.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with it.
But I was dialed into the Dolphins. This was my viewing habits yesterday. I was all Dolphins from 1 to when did Tiger go off? About 2:30?
Yeah.
From 1 to I was flipping back. I was flipping back and forth. I was with my father-in-law, and I told him, he goes, dude, he's up by four strokes. What are you watching for? I go, I want to see the victory lap.
Yeah.
I want to see Tiger getting the standing ovation walking up to every tee box, walking up to each green. On top of that, the guy's iron play right now is better than anybody's on the planet Earth. It just is. And when he's hitting it off the tee like he was this weekend, where he was good enough, and he had his putter working again, where he had a couple of those 30-foot putts that were kind of lipping out earlier in the season. They started to fall this week, and it all came together at the same time for Tiger, it felt like, this week.
Yeah, and then you look at Rory McIlroy, 67, 68, 66, yesterday, 74. Justin Rose, final round, 73. All right, Tiger was 71. He was one over yesterday, you know that. But still, other guy, Tony Finau, worst round, final round, 72. Stanley, worst round, 73. I mean, there's a lot of guys who shot in the mid-60s all week and came up in the 70s. They were all in it until the final round.
Yep. Let's listen to more Tiger from afterward and what winning, you know, he was stuck on 79 wins for almost 5 years, right? And he talked about what it was like to finally get his 80th tournament win.
To get to the 80 mark is it's a big number. Sam is still ahead of me. I've still got, I feel like, a chance to play some more golf, and maybe I'll keep chipping away at that number and maybe surpass it. But I just think that what I've gone through and what I've dealt with, I've gotten lucky, to be honest with you. I've gotten very lucky. I'm not playing a full contact sport, or, you know, I've got to move people around in that regard. 42 years old with a fused lower spine, that's not going to happen. But in this sport, it can, and I'm lucky to have the opportunity to have, you know, the people around me to have supported me and worked through this process with me. And I've ground out a chance to, you know, win golf tournaments again.
That's Tiger Woods.
Now, when we play tomorrow, because we're playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
All of us at my place. So when you see the crowd, they're not going to really start following me around until about the third hole.
Do you have proper security over there at Bonita for me?
I'm kind of
a big deal.
We do. It is a big deal. I can tell you this. I don't know if you saw my picture on Facebook. I posted Thursday morning, or Saturday morning, I should say. The Gators are back. They're big. And saw a nice mama bear as well on Saturday with her two little cubs.
Yikes.
Around the 16th. Oh, they don't bother. They go away. They don't bother anybody.
They don't like anybody messing with the cubs.
So I'm going to be totally in your head. Every time you swing, there's going to be a noise that you're not used to.
Really?
Yes.
I bought extra balls.
By the way, Tiger's TV ratings peaked at a 7.2 during the 5:30 to 6 o'clock window, Eastern window.
Yeah.
Which, according to NBC, trails only the Masters and the PGA Championship in 2018 for golf numbers.
People wanted to see it.
And they had to beat the NFL in that time because they were boring.
Because they were boring games.
Yeah.
And there were only three of them.
And I know
the
ratings up last night. We're up last night. I know they were up.
For the tournament, they were up over 200%.
Yeah.
So what does Tiger Woods do?
200%.
Just see it right there. 200%. And going into a weekend with the Ryder Cup, and it's in Paris, not in North America, so the TV numbers will be
different,
a little strange. But still, I mean, I think you'll get people waking up. I know I'll wake up Friday morning.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a couple more bites from Tiger. He said, well, where this 80th win, where it ranks for him all time.
This is under different circumstances, you know. I've explained throughout the year that I just didn't know whether, you know, when this would ever happen again, or if I could somehow piece together a golf swing, you know, this year, I feel like I could do it. My hands are good enough, and I just didn't know if I could, you know, piece together a golf swing, but somehow I've been able to do that, and here we are.
And he also talked about his kids. Finally saw the old man win one, even though they weren't there. Watching on TV.
Sorry, hold on. I got it now.
I hadn't won any tournaments in which they can remember. So I think this will be a little bit different for them. To be able to have shared what I did with the British Open this year. I had a chance. I had the lead. They felt it, you know, that atmosphere. They felt it. And they know what their dad can do on a golf course now. It's not what I used to be able to do. And they, you know, a lot of times they equated golf to pain because every time I did, I'd hurt. And it would cause me more pain. And so now they're seeing a little bit of a joy and seeing how much fun it is for me to be able to do this again.
All right, Tiger Woods, yesterday.
And he is the betting favorite going into the next major, Augusta, next April. He is 10-1 right now.
Wow. It's hard to believe it's that far away.
But Tiger's game, it's been trending this way for a very long time.
Yeah, we've seen it in slow motion.
I mean, it started with the iron game. And when he, at the beginning of the year, when Tiger was able to find the fairway, he was doing some damage with his irons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, then what was next to come around? It was kind of when he switched his putter out, I'd say.
Yeah.
And you started to see, okay, if he can, his proximity to the hole is good and he can make some of those putts, well, now he just has to get the driver straightened out. And this was by far his best driving weekend of the season. So he finally put all of it together. It's not a balls to the wall Tiger Woods where he's taking driver out every single hole. But this week, from Thursday to Sunday, it was vintage Tiger Woods. It was go out on Thursday, develop the lead. On Friday, we're not going to give that lead back. Then on Saturday, he's been doing what he's been doing all season long, where he has the lowest scoring average on the tour for Saturday.
Six birdies in the first seven holes.
Right, and he did it again, opening up the final round yesterday. First hole, if anybody thought that there was a glimmer of hope that maybe Tiger would come back to the field, he comes out of the first hole with a birdie and says, no, if you want to win this tournament, you got to come and get me. What? And I just thought it was the perfect Tiger Woods performance over the weekend.
I agree. But what almost happened, which people, that was it 16th, that long par three.
Yeah, where he got lucky, man.
Wow. That could have been really interesting. But you know what? It wasn't. It just short.
It wasn't. And listen, that's as he gets more comfortable getting back into that leader that role as the leader in the tournament, I think you'll start to see that, because not only on 16, but on 18 as well, the guy has 215 yards into a par five green. What does he do, man? That's a five iron for Tiger, not even. And he flares it out right, short and right, winds up in the bunker. And now he's put a little bit of pressure on himself. I mean, as much as you can, I think he could have gotten up on the green and then three putted his way to victory.
Yeah.
So you kind of knew he was safe, but still he'll get more comfortable in that role, I think.
All right, coming up, we'll continue to talk about that. If you want to jump on, it's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Andre Branch is going to miss a few weeks, too. Ian Rappaport is reporting.
All right.
And banged up. Dolphins defensive end. You got banged up.
Well, you're banged up.
William Hayes is banged up.
Well, good thing we got the Patriots.
Good thing you got the lowly Patriots coming
in. We'll be like the Vikings last week. We'll just rest everybody, taking it as a health week.
Take it easy.
And go and lose by 30. That was an embarrassment.
Plus, if we have time, Jimmy Butler, maybe a Miami Heat.
Bills Mafia.
Who knows? All that coming up. Plus, Rick Haro checks in from Tampa as we get ready for the big Monday Night Football tilt. Going to be talking more about that in our final hour, obviously. Steelers and Buccaneers must-see TV tonight. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Call or text us at 337-3776. And listen wherever you are on the 99.3 ESPN app. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Come at the top of the hour, we'll have a live check-in from Tampa as we're getting ready for the Buccaneers and Steelers on Monday Night Football. More Fitzmagic time. Can't wait for that. We'll have the game tonight here on 99.3 ESPN, 7:30 pregame. Looking forward to that. By the way, you mentioned earlier, you told our audience that we're all getting together for a little golf tomorrow out at Bonita National. We're looking forward to that.
Including Rick.
You remember that? Now, I've gone on a bit of a streak without playing golf. And part of the problem was, you may remember the last time I played, I had some really, well, how should we say, classic shoes.
Well, yeah. Well,
the bottoms fell out.
You had a wardrobe malfunction. I threw my back out. And that was at our tournament. It was ugly.
I've played since then, but my bottoms of my shoes went out. I need a new shoe. So I went over to Lumpy's Golf today, met Troy Jr., and by the way, big Buckeye fans over there. Did not know that.
There's a huge Ohio State contingency in this market.
It's massive.
It's beyond massive.
Yeah.
I tell you.
They might be the biggest fan base down here.
It's insane.
Oof. Bigger than Florida?
I'd say for Florida teams down here, I'm not just saying this, I think the U has everybody else beat.
I think you're wrong on that.
No, I think Florida's right there with them. Florida State definitely last.
Well, anyway, I got some new shoes I'm going to be debuting tomorrow.
No, Florida State fans are just being quiet right now because they can't beat anyone
other than Northern Illinois.
So check out this ball marker I got, this magnetic IU ball marker. This is sweet, man. I won't need it because I'm going to be holing out a lot tomorrow.
Okay.
But
right.
So anyway, yeah, thanks. It's good to finally meet Troy in person, man.
I was at a couple of sponsors over the weekend. Went to Game Time with Elaine on Saturday. Watched the Miami beat up on FIU.
Yeah.
That was great. Our server, Gina, she was fantastic. She did a great job. What a fun place that is. Great food, great drinks. We had a real nice time. A couple hours we were there. And then took my buddies, my dear friends, Dave and Marie, took them to World Greatest Cigar Bar.
All right.
Yesterday. For the entire Dolphin game and all the other 1 o'clock games, and we sat there and had some nice cigars and
had a nice Saturday evening at it's still Germaine.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's Hertz next week.
Next week, I believe.
Yeah.
Went over there for Disney on Ice.
How'd that go?
It was great.
Yeah.
Was able to stream the Bama Texas A&M game on my phone.
Get
the whole
good reception
time.
In there.
Oh, yeah. It was spectacular! Great internet.
Nobody
in there.
The family was bothered that you were watching college football instead of Disney on Ice. Everything good?
I think no. Everyone was good.
All right.
But I wanted to thank also at World Greatest Cigar Bar, a great bartender. Everybody knows her, Eileen, and she's from Cape Cod. She's been there for a long time, but she is an absolute sweetheart. Yep.
Hey, 239 says Naples, the Ohio State Alumni Association, is the second biggest in the country other than Columbus.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I've been to a few other sports bars, and not when Ohio State's playing, but you can't watch any other game but Ohio State.
Yeah, you got a lot of nuts down here.
I get it, Buckeyes.
That's a good one. Oh, this is uncalled for. 239. You don't need a ball marker if you're the first one to putt because you're the furthest out. Thank you very much. Pittsburgh, Brian, let's go to the phones of the Cape with Sheeman and Shepherd. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you doing? Looking forward to tonight?
First of all, I'd like to say two things. First of all, congratulations to Tiger. That was well-deserved. Good to see him bounce back. And second is with Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I called you guys back in December right before the playoff game, and I was concerned about Shazier. Shazier, still he's not back. Probably never going to come back.
Right.
But Pittsburgh has never helped out, filled that hole in the linebacker spot, nor did they – have ever filled Paul Muller's replacement. So you got two good corners out there, halfway decent. But that hole and just Tomlin trying to be the friend and player's coach and letting all this riffraff going on, that's going to be their demise.
Well, I'll tell you, this one, I think Pittsburgh may have to score 40 to win this one tonight. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to come right. It's going to be competitive. I think it's going to be a lot of points in this one. But I like the Bucks' chances tonight. But this should be back and forth. This is going to be a lot of fun tonight, Brian.
All right, Brian. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Look, I know players throw up all the time, but they just showed a close-up of the Titans. Taylor Lewan puking.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, violent projectile
spewing. That's why they won.
Spewing.
That's why they beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, throw up on your opponent across the line. Nobody will want to guard you.
Great text from the 330. Even as a Buckeye fan, I get annoyed with people down here. We are not that obnoxious where I'm from in Ohio. You don't need to yell O-H-I-O every time we score on Tulane.
Yeah.
They covered, though.
Act like Alabama when you score. Just hand the ball to the ref.
Alabama. Nobody can spell Alabama.
Could you change the channel, please?
God, seriously, a montage of vomiting.
Well, now Levitard's going on the montage.
It looks like Ellie. Now they're showing a wedding where the bridesmaid goes. There's Chris right there. That even looks like little Everett.
Oh, can we take a commercial break, please? I can't watch this. Sheeman and Shepherd. We're going to check in live at Tampa in a minute. Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN.